want to be reading. I know we read a lot from the New American Standard Version, but I got me a giant print study. I don't have a giant print NASB. I hate to wear reading glasses, so I got me a giant print Bible at Walmart for $20, a new King James Version. So I like the majority text, and I'm not King James only by no means, but I like different translations. I look at the ESV, I look at the New American Standard, but so just follow me this morning. We're going to look in the New King James. What I want to do is kind of hit on a theme which Psalm 1 is all about, which is the two ways. The two ways. And you see this motif or theme in what we call wisdom literature. Ryan just spent a few weeks. I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. The book of Ecclesiastes, which in the Hebrew Bible, or we would call the Old Testament, is called wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. The book of Job is wisdom literature. Proverbs, of course, is wisdom literature. And but this psalm, there are certain psalms that are called wisdom psalms. And what's the purpose of the wisdom literature? To convey wisdom to us. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's just six verses through. And then you could preach on this for many, or teach on it for a long time. So I'm really not going to do it any justice today. Bear with me. I'm going to do my best to try to get through it. But look, this is the word of the Lord. Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I appreciate Ryan making these copies for me. I call Stone Drive Red Light Alley. I thought I was going to get here a little bit early. You know how Murphy's Law, every light caught me coming up through there, so I got here late, and I appreciate him making these copies. And notice in your handout, it says, so how can I be happy, truly happy? You know, I'm amazed. I go to Books a Million. I'm a nerd. I spend a lot of time in bookstores, and if I go to a bookstore, I can't leave without buying a book. It's an affliction. So, but you know, you go to like Books a Million or Barnes and Noble, and they have how many here has ever seen the self-help section? You know, how to be happy, how to have a successful life, but you know, really, we already know. God's already told us how to have a successful, prosperous, joyful a life of wisdom. So if you notice in your handout here, it says Psalm 1 is called a wisdom psalm. We done hit on that. It's a part of wisdom literature. Because we learned that happiness results from our choice to follow God's direction in life. And I'm not going to completely go through this and read this. You can keep this. And it's just a good summation of what Psalm 1 is all about. Really, what it boils down to is choosing the right path or choosing the wrong path in life. And you see this theme even in our Lord. You know, he said there's two roads, one that leads to life and one that leads to destruction. And the early Christians, you know, were predominantly Jews until after, you know, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and then Gentiles started coming in. So the Jewish people, the first generation of Christians, understood this teaching. You know, you see it in James. James is called wisdom literature of the New Testament. And we'll get into it in two or three weeks. There's an ancient Christian document. It's very old. most church historians of early Christian history, it's called the Didache. The Didache, it means the teaching, didactical, didaktikos, it means the teaching. The Didache is an ancient Christian document written probably in the late first century or early second century. And guess how it starts out? There are two ways, one that leads to death and one that leads to life. And we'll get into that whenever there's a huge section in the Didache where they're talking about abortion. You know, Christians have always believed that abortion is wrong and sin. And it's interesting to see the early Christian church, their views on abortion. And we'll get into that when we look at the Didache. But you can start reading that. It's also called the first catechesis or catechetical manual of the Christian church, the Didache. And it starts out with this theme, there are two ways. There's one that leads to death and one that leads to life. Spurgeon, look in the part that talks about the wrong way on your handout. Spurgeon said this of Psalm 1. Psalm 1, he gets on down, he talks about the, it's a double negative. We'll get into that later. I got ahead of myself. But let's look at, blessed is the man. Do you see that? Some translations, and I don't think all translations are equal. There's some good ones and some bad ones. But I like it. The Hebrew literally says, blessed is the man. Some of these egalitarian translations that want to take away men, you know, from the Bible. Some modern translations say, blessed is the one. But literally in the Hebrew, it's blessed is the man, the man. And who is the perfect man? I think this ultimately points to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the perfect God-man. So all of these attributes of blessedness are fulfilled in Jesus. But we're called to emulate this. So the perfect man was Christ Jesus. You know, he kept the law of God perfectly in our place. He was the wisdom of God personified in the flesh. But notice the word blessed. The word blessed literally means, in Hebrew, it means happy. Really, if you could read it in Hebrew, it would be like this, the feeling, oh, the happiness, the blessedness of the man, of the man. And here, what we're seeing here, if you're taking notes, we know that the man is Christ Jesus. He's the perfect man. But this is what we call covenant instruction. Covenant instruction. One thing I've learned, you know, I was not raised in Reformed tradition. Maybe some of you were. I was raised in a thoroughly Arminian tradition that never really emphasized covenants unless it was under a dispensational view of covenants. Most people in this region were raised in what's called dispensationalism. So I had never heard nothing about Calvinism, covenant theology. But I've been coming here to this church for 10 years, and I've really learned. We're so blessed to hear the word and hear good teaching. And I've learned more the importance of covenants, the covenant, that it runs through. It's the theme of the word of God from Genesis through Revelation is God's covenant, his covenant of grace. That runs throughout, you know, Genesis 3:15. It runs throughout the whole of Scripture. So what we see here, folks, is this is covenant instruction to the covenant people of God in this time period. And notice that it says, blessed. If you want to know what happiness or blessedness is, this is the way to achieve it. Happy or blessed is the man. And what are the attributes or characteristics, and we know we're talking about women too, ladies, but in the Hebrew, literally, it's the man. What are the attributes of these people who are the blessed ones? You know, we're going to see a distinction. We're going to contrast the difference between the godly and the wicked. I heard the term since I started learning covenant, what covenant theology is, and, you know, I've heard Pastor Patrick use it and others. They talk about the antithesis. There is an antithesis between the righteous and the unrighteous. And we see this antithesis in this particular wisdom psalm. And notice what they're like. It says, they do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you see that? They don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? And you're going to see three postures or positions that people are in every day of their lives. They either normally they stand, they walk, they stand, or they sit, don't they? You can underline those words or highlight those words in your Bible. They walk, stand, and sit. So blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel means advice. You know, we don't take our advice for a godly Christian life from people that don't believe the Scripture. People who presuppose, you know, that the Bible is not God's Word, you know, that the blessed person, the person who's truly happy, is the person who doesn't walk in the advice of the ungodly. Ungodly means the impious, people who do not fear the Lord. Boy, you see that every day. We live in a bad time, you know, all the stuff going on in the world and all the impious ungodliness that's going on in our society, our culture. But the blessed, it doesn't say blessed is a man that listens to Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey. It doesn't say that, does it? But there's people, you know, they're going to the wrong source. I try to watch Pastor Patrick's YouTube channel. And other. He puts up so many, I can't keep up with them. And they're all great. Anybody here watched the one the other day called Psychobabble? You know, all this psychobabble going on. It's always somebody else's fault that I'm the way that I am. And, you know, we have a generation that wants to blame everybody for their own problems. And they look to the wrong sources. They get their count. I'm not saying everything Dr. Phil says is bad. You know, he's helped some people. But I would think that good biblical counseling would be better than, you know, Freud and Skinner and Rogers and all of this stuff. So the Bible has a solution to people's unhappiness and discontentment. First of all, you can't walk in the advice of the ungodly. You can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at your handout. You know, people think of the outcome. What's the outcome of my life going to be in the midst of all this stuff I'm going through in life and craziness? But notice it says here, Psalm 1 captures a fundamental teaching found in both the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, God teaches his people that one's choice will determine both the direction and outcome of your life. So the first thing of the blessed man is they don't walk in the counsel, the advice of the ungodly, the impious. Why would I listen to advice of a person that doesn't fear the Lord? You know, that doesn't believe in the Scriptures and the inspiration of Scriptures. And I mean, everything. Everybody's medicated on everything. Big pharma commercials on TV. And, you know, it's amazing to me. You take allergy medicine. It says, if you have thoughts of suicide, don't take this allergy medicine. You know? I thought, well, I'm not going to take it. But everybody takes a pill. It seems like there's a pill for everything. But if they would just walk in the counsel of the Word of God, I believe more people could get solutions to their problems. Don't you? There's a verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Let's turn there. And again, this theme that I've learned so much by coming to this church of covenant theology. You know, if you read a lot of covenant theology, you hear people quoting from Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30, which is, what is Deuteronomy 28, 29? Can anybody tell me what you see in these particular sections of the book of Deuteronomy? What?
Is this the curses and the blessings?
Yes, curses and blessings. You know, there are repercussions in one's life if one doesn't follow the Lord. There are repercussions in our lives, good results, if we do follow the Lord and follow His Word. So what you see in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 is the curses of the covenant. You know, people don't want to hear that. I mean, that's serious stuff, isn't it? the curse, all these calamities that can come on people. It talks about mental illness, and I'm not saying people, everybody's got problems or cursed. I'm not. That's not. That's word of faith stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that if you follow covenant theology, that there are blessings to obeying the Lord, and curses to disobeying the Lord. And I think a lot of what we're seeing in our country right now, you know, you're dispensationalist. Every geopolitical event you see, all the coming, you know, they're connected to the coming of the Lord. Earthquake in New Jersey, that means the Lord's coming. You know, earthquakes in diverse places and all that. I think what people are not seeing is that maybe these are the curses of Deuteronomy that are on our country for forsaking the Lord. The Deuteronomic curses. That you see these blessings. What happens to it? It says, blessed is a nation. What? What's it say? Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. So a nation that forsakes the Lord. How many here has ever read the book of Judges? You know, you see these cycles of apostasy. That the Lord would, he would raise up a certain judge at this particular time. And then the people would come to the Lord. And then they would turn back to the Canaanite idol worship and child sacrifice and, you know, sexual perversion through this Canaanite worship. So the Lord is warning. Look in Deuteronomy 30, 19. Could somebody please read that, Deuteronomy 30, 19? Right. So you see that? And even, we'll get into that when I teach in about, I guess, 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks. Even Jesus, you know, Jesus was from, he was a Jewish man. He was immersed in the synagogue worship and the Torah and the law, the prophet and the writings. And Jesus knew this wisdom tradition. He was clearly taught it, you know, growing up and going to the synagogue He knew this teaching of the two ways, you know, one that leads. That's why he said, broad is a way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads. And, you know, this is a theme that we see in the wisdom literature of the Hebrew Bible. So what it boils down to is we're either choosing the right path or we're choosing the wrong way. And isn't it a blessing why we still have life in our body? You know, I go by the cemetery, and I'm like, man, those people are already gone. You know, you wonder where they are. And while we still have life in our body, we can heed instruction from the Word of God. Notice he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What else? He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. That means he doesn't walk, or he doesn't stand, he doesn't place his feet in the same direction that sinners, people who don't reverence the Lord. There's a clear antithesis here you're going to see. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. And if you have any questions, please raise your hand. If I say something maybe you don't understand or you have a question about, feel free to interrupt. And that's just, number one, the blessed man, the really happy person, they don't walk in the advice of the wicked. You know, you don't get your marriage advice from somebody who's been married 5 times, do you? I would look at somebody like here's got beautiful families and they raise children and they love the Lord. I think, that's who I want to emulate my life after. What's their secret? You know, I want to look at their life, not some Hollywood actor or actress. So they don't stand in the path of sinners. Path is a place you're walking on in life. You know, you're every day. And if you really want your life to be blessed, you can't walk that path. You know, you got to clearly distinguish yourself from this path. Number three, look, they don't. The blessed, happy person nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I love how, that's why I like different Bible translations, because words can be translated differently and mean the same thing. Scornful means scoffers, mockers. The righteous person who's truly happy, he doesn't, to sit in the seat of means to associate with. You know, you don't associate. You know, we all had, I've been retired for 2 years, but I've always had to work with people that cuss and tell dirty jokes and you know, don't fear the Lord, and they'll apologize. You know, I'm sorry I said that, Anthony. And I remember years ago, this truck driver thought I'd laugh at his dirty joke, and he apologized to me. I just said, man, I'm a Christian. I don't laugh at stuff like that no more. That's when I got back in church in the late 80s. But people will see a clear distinction between you if you're really walking in God's covenant. Notice they don't sit, they don't assemble themselves in the seat. And seat means like where you're sitting this morning. You don't, you know, rub elbows and associate. We all have to work with people and live in the everyday world with people that are sinners and ungodly and don't reverence the things of God. But as a rule, you know, you don't make it your habit to just to fellowship with ungodly people who ridicule your Lord and the things of God. Any questions? All right, let's move on. Well, I got to hurry. Move on to verse 3. But here's another characteristic of the righteous person. His delight is in the law. Hebrew, it's Torah, T-O-R-A-H, or Torah, which means instruction. A happy person, they delight in the instruction of Yahweh. See, Lord, is that capital letters in your Bible? That's Yahweh, or Hebrew, it's Adonai, which is Lord. Their delight is in the instruction of Yahweh, or the Lord. Do you delight in the Word of God? I look forward to the preaching and the teaching every Lord's Day. You know, to me, that's one sign that you're regenerated. Not you went up and shook the preacher's hand, you signed a card and sang "Just as I Am." There's nothing wrong with singing "Just as I Am," but you know what? People think they're automatically covered because I call it decisional regeneration. That's the name of it. But what's one of the evidences that you know you're really regenerate? Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the things of God? I think most people in here do. I mean, you're here early. You know, you drive into work, you drive into church, and you see all these people that stay at home that don't go to the house of the Lord on Lord's Day. Man, but the Super Bowl comes on, or NFL, or March Madness, man, it's my personal opinion. You may disagree with me. How come they have everything on the Lord's Day? Super Bowl, ball game? I think the devil's crept in this nation and found a way. I really believe it. I mean, all these things going on the Lord's Day. People don't delight. But a characteristic of a righteous person, a really, truly happy person, is what? Look at verse 2. They delight in the instruction of the Lord. And in His law, His instruction, he meditates day and night. You know, the old Puritans, our Reformed forefathers, they were big on the art of meditation. And don't think, you know, Buddhist. That's not when we say meditation. We're not talking about Zen meditation. To meditate in the Hebrew means to chew the cud. That's what it means. It means to you ponder something. Like an old Puritan, one of our old Reformed forefathers, you read the Puritans, they wrote a lot on meditation. They could look at that door and maybe meditate on that the whole day. Just the least little things. No, Jesus is the door. He's the door. And they would take things like that. And go get you some good books on the Puritans on meditation. They're wonderful. The righteous person meditates. That means you talk to yourself about the things of God in your mind. You roll it around in your mind, the things of God. They do it day and night. What are they going to be like? Well, what you see here in verses 3 through 4, there's two similes based on agriculture in ancient Israel. It's 10:32. Okay, I got a little while. Time flies. Verses 3 and 4 are two similes based on agriculture in ancient Israel. The first we're going to see is a tree, and the second we're going to see is chaff. Okay, so this agricultural thing you see in verse 3, the truly happy person or righteous person, what are they like? Well, they're like a tree planted It means the Lord has planted them. They didn't plant themselves. They're planted by the Lord. They're going to be like a tree, not a weed. Notice it says that they're not a weed, but they're a tree. I love trees. I look at a tree and I think, boy, I bet that thing's, especially the old growth sections of the forest, like on Hoston Mountain. I go up there and hike, and I'll be with a guy that's an expert. He'll say, well, that tree's 300 or 400 years old. You know, got deep roots. And that's what a righteous person is like. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the river. Some of your translations say streams. They're going to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Somebody turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 8, and read that for me. Notice how similar Jeremiah 17, 8 is to Psalm 1, verse 3. So whoever gets there first can read it. Read verse 7, the verse above it.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord.
You know, I personally think that the prophet Jeremiah is borrowing from this ancient psalm. And because it sounds so similar, doesn't it? One thing I meant to say is Psalm 1 is an introduction to the Psalter, the book of Psalms. So you see in Psalm 1 in miniature all 150 psalms, and you see the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, how he kept the law perfectly. He has all these wonderful, beautiful attributes, but the righteous person, the truly happy person, they're going to delight in the instruction of the Lord. They're going to chew the cud on the things of God, meditate on it day and night. What else? They're going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. You know, I think that's talking about the hope of eternal life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that we have a living hope according to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a hope that fades not, reserved in heaven for you, that we're kept, that's the preservation of the saints, we're kept or guarded by the power of God. Isn't it wonderful to have the hope of eternal life? You know, I tell you, it's the Word of God is so wonderful, and it's the key to true happiness in life. Not all of these self-aid books you find in the bookstore and these talk show hosts that people watch. And see, the devil wants to keep people from the Word. That's why, you know, these people are not in the house of the Lord today. On the Lord's Day, they're staying at home. You know, there are repercussions for not following God's Word in our lives. And I admit, I was once young and dumb. Were you? I look back on my life and I think, why did I do this? Or, you know, why didn't I have enough sense? And it's because I didn't allow the Word of God to... I admire... We see a great group of young people here in this church that love the Lord at a young age. And you don't have to go out and be young and dumb and make bad decisions. Hanging around the wrong people and, you know, being an alcoholic and just, you know, we all have those what if moments, don't we? Why didn't I do this when I was younger? How come I didn't have enough sense to do it? Well, we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn if we listen into the instruction of the Lord. That's the key. And remember, we're Reformed people. We believe in covenant theology, and this is covenant instruction to us. So what we see another theme, we saw the theme of the tree. A righteous person is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But what are the unrighteous like? Here's that antithesis or that contrast. What we're doing, we're contrasting the outcome of one's life. And there will be a difference in the outcome of people's lives according to whether they're on the way of death or the way of life. Look at verse 4. Here's the opposite of the coin. I don't want to be in this camp, do you? I want to be like the person in the first three verses. If you really want to know true happiness, have God's favor and blessing on your life and your family, verses 1 through 3 tells us. But someone that's going to have all kinds of calamity in their life, and you see the, you know, it's strong language, the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and 29. I think those can come on people, do you? I mean, I'm not saying it was just for the nation of Israel. You know, as the people, as in our church, we believe there's one people of God. One people of God. So this reflects down through time, these blessings or curses, according to whether we listen to instruction of the Lord. Look at verse 4. Here's the contrast. The ungodly are not so. Who are the ungodly? The impious, people that don't fear the Lord, you know, people, the last thing on there. And we know why they think that way. The Bible says that they're in a state of spiritual death. So a dead man can't raise himself from the dead, can he? I heard it said like this. It's like you put a glass of water in a cemetery and say, like, if my dad's deceased, I love my dad, and he's buried at Oak Hill Cemetery in Kingsport. You know, if I was to put and I believe he was spiritually alive. One thing about my dad, I may have told this story, but my dad went into the Armenian Free Will Church that I was in. I let him read a book by A.W. Pink on the sovereignty of God, regeneration. He said, you know, that makes sense. I believe that. And I said, wow. My dad, you know, he went to an Armenian church, but he didn't have no problem with election or predestination. But he's buried at Oak Hill Cemetery, and I could take a glass of water up there and say, Dad, can you come up here and get a drink? He's dead physically. I think he's alive spiritually with the Lord right now. But, you know, a dead person cannot understand or even desire the things of God unless the Holy Spirit regenerates and quickens their mind. That's who the ungodly are. They're the spiritually dead. Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they are what? Like the, what's it say? They're like what? Chaff. What was the chaff? Anybody tell me? You understand agriculture in the ancient time, in the ancient Near East, when they would have threshing floors. What was the chaff? Yes, the outer shell or the outer husk that covered the grain inside. And we're going to hear that, you know, pastors preaching through the book of Ruth, you know, the threshing floor of Boaz. But the ungodly are like the worthless chaff that the wind drives away. That's a horrible way to describe somebody, isn't it? Look at verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. I think that means God's judgment on this earth, you know, when God's separates the wheat from the chaff, but I think it can mean the final judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, at the end of days, at the consummation of all things, after the judgment, the final consummation, sinners will not be in the assembly of the righteous. That's a fearful, horrific, fearful thought to me. That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the big, you know, I don't understand the doctrine of hell, but I believe it. I think I heard R.C. Sproul say that the most fearful doctrine that he has trouble with is the doctrine of hell, but he still believes it even though his mind doesn't. Because, you know, I believe the scripture. It's sad to think, you know, the time we're living in, all this stuff going on in these churches. People are not preaching the truths of heaven and hell. And it's really wonderful to be in a church that believes in expository verse-by-verse preaching. And I love it because I was not raised in that tradition. I was raised in a tradition where they preached the word, but they didn't deal it in the historical context. It was just skipping around everything. You know, it's wonderful to go through books like Ruth and like they do here in the church, of John going through 1 John and on Sunday evenings, Lord's Day. But notice it says here that the sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. But look at verse 6. Verse 6 is a wonderful verse. For the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord knows. It doesn't just mean like he knows, like he knows your name. It means he intimately knows. Knows. The Lord knows the way, that means the path of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall what? Shall perish. So I got through that. Anybody have any questions? We know that we must choose the right way. Look at your handout here. There's a slippery slope of evil. There's three verbs: walk, stand, and sit. We see this in verse 1. It talks about walking, standing, sitting. And that shows the slippery slope of evil. Evil is not passive. It's ever descending. The longer you go, the worse you get. A pattern of evil choices causes a downward spiraling character that leads to destruction. We've all seen people go to a downward spiral, don't we? And you just think, well, if they just acknowledged the Lord and had a fear of God, their life would not be that way. We know the righteous do go through trials. Look, the book, the righteous do suffer. But we're talking in the ultimate sense. Do you hunger for God's word? Talks about the happiness to develop a strong appetite for the word of God. There's a wrong way. And we'll conclude with this. Look at the last paragraph in your handout. Ungodliness will never, never prosper. In the end, ungodly people's lives are deemed as chaff. In other words, they are worthless, lifeless, and useless. They will be driven away by the wind of God's judgment. They will not dwell with the people of God in the congregation of the righteous. At the end of the passage, the psalmist sets forth two directions, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Two decisions: to meditate on God's word or to listen to ungodly counsel. Two destinies: the righteous will enjoy God's presence forever, but the ungodly will perish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the service, upon the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Lord, that we would profit from that. We ask you to be with Patrick as he preaches the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.